You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From a player perspective, the amount of change in terms of how their daily routine operated because of the pandemic was enormous. Like, you know, when they were allowed to arrive, what they were allowed to do while they were here, who they were allowed to interact with, you know, how we traveled from, you know, stadium to airport.
It was a year of changes, and it's a year that will continue to change the game for years to come. Welcome to the program. I'm Brett McMillan. That was Cardinals General Manager Michael Gersh talking about what the big league team had to deal with as they prepared for games day in and day out throughout 2020. Gersh will get into more of that with Dan McLaughlin in just a moment. He's also going to talk about the alternate training site in 2020. It was something that we heard about a lot, but obviously none of us got to see it in person. What were the unique adversities and challenges and benefits of that specific arrangement? And specifically, how do you keep statistics in a scenario where players are not playing in games against other organizations? Gersh will touch on that. He'll talk about how the Cardinals have tried to make the best of it and what it might mean for some of the prospects that you know looking forward to spring training 2021. We'll let you hear it in its entirety. We'll be back with you on the other side. Again, it's Cardinals Vice President and General Manager Michael Gersh with the television voice of the Cardinals, Danny Mack, right here on the Cards Insider Podcast.
Let's start with this. Last year was just such a crazy year for everybody, whether you were in sports, out of sports, but certainly for anybody in baseball. It was a 60-game season, a race to the finish, almost a 60-game regular season for the Cardinals. Is now you've had a chance to kind of catch your breath, reflect on the season. How would you characterize the season for the Cardinals?
It was certainly challenging. I think from a player perspective, the amount of change in terms of how their daily routine operated because of the pandemic was enormous. Like, you know, when they were allowed to arrive, what they were allowed to do while they were here, who they were allowed to interact with, you know, how we traveled from, you know, stadium to airport, how we flew, everything was just, it kind of sucked all the fun out of being on a team, right? A lot of what brings people into sports is the camaraderie and the teamwork, and when you can't be close to each other and you can't be in the same room and you have to sit in your hotel room and eat all your meals by yourself, it sucks a lot of the fun out of it. So based on the outbreak we had and the time we spent in Milwaukee not doing anything but sitting in hotel rooms and then coming back here and having to go back into a quarantine again just to battle through and make it to the playoffs, I think, you know, it was an impressive display of sort of, you know, like sticking with it and not giving up by our players and staff who, and by staff I include all the way down to our traveling secretary and our trainers and our clubhouse guys, all of whom had their jobs totally, you know, people who've done the same thing for 25 straight years all of a sudden had a whole new world to deal with, and everyone did a great job kind of making it work.
Do you think players and clubhouse guys and the staff, just everybody in general, do you think we've learn to do things differently going forward? Because you were forced to do things differently, and maybe going forward we say, well, do we really need to be at the ballpark at 10 a.m. like we used to? Do you think we could do things more efficiently going forward when we get back to normal?
Yeah, I do think we've talked about, I don't think we'll go back to what we used to do exactly. We'll certainly go back in some ways, but I do think there are parts of routines that people realize I don't need 100 swings before every game, or I don't need to get here so early, I can spend more time with my family, or we can do more things pregame or remotely. Like a lot of like the advanced scouting and pregame work, instead of doing it in a room altogether, we had to do it, you know, send out documents and do calls or ahead of time or whatever. And I think some of those things will remain. I think like in anything in life, we've all learned that there are certain things you're like, it turns out I don't need to go to the office every day. I actually, as long as I have an internet and a phone, I can actually be pretty productive. So I do think there'll be some parts that will change, but I think it'll depend on the player, depend on, you know, new guys who are just joining the big leagues don't know any better. So they might, you know, fall into this routine more quickly than someone, you know, who's been around for a while.
How concerned do you get, or do you think it was a blessing in disguise that some of your younger players that were at the satellite camp were facing some of their own top prospects moving forward? Now, it's a lost minor league season, but yet Libertor or Thompson or Gorman are facing your own top prospects. So they're not playing games, but yet you're facing really good competition.
Yeah, I think it was a blessing and a curse in that, you know, we were able to work on things with players in a non-competitive environment. Like, nobody wants to practice something new or try something different when you know, the chips are down, right? When people are keeping score, when championships are on the line, when, you know, in 400-point font on the scoreboard, it shows your ERA or your batting average. But when you're doing it in an environment where, like, you can try a new pitch or you can try a new grip or you can try a new approach and you have a little bit more freedom to practice those things before you implement them, I think so some of our young players took advantage of that and were able to try new things and really make some real progress. Missing out on that competition, missing out on all those innings and all those plate appearances is a challenge. And so the whole industry is somewhat flying blind as to what all these guys are going to look like next year. You know, do we just pretend everyone played at their next level and then advance them another level, like just skip a level for everyone? Or do we everyone just go to the level they would have gone to last year? And we have only so many roster spots and so many innings and so many plate appearances. And so how do you sort of put that puzzle together? It's a lot more uncertainty than normal, for sure.
Yeah, good luck with that. That's going to be really tough, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's going to mean that spring training, you know, normally we try to know what our plan is going into spring training. And we always talk about competition and stuff, and it's true. But, like, we just saw you, you know, in September. There's some competition, but how much could you have really changed? Well, now we haven't seen you since, you know, 18 months ago. So we have an idea that you're going to go to AA or whatever. But, you know, if you've gotten bigger and stronger, or if you've spent the last 18 months putting on weight, or, you know, how productive you've been is going to make a big driver. So I think whenever we do get to all the guys down there for spring training, it'll be sort of a more interesting, more competitive environment than normal.
So we always hear about analytics in the game, and you're able to take analytics even down in the minor leagues for fans that don't know and have measurements on your pitchers and mm-hmm. spin rate and launch angle and all those different things that we talk about in baseball. Were you able to do that even in the games or the pseudo games that you had with the guys at the satellite camp?
Yeah, so we our satellite camp in Springfield is one of our affiliates, and so we have camera system and a TrackMan ball tracking radar down there. And so we're able to give players feedback on, you know, their spin rate, their velocity, we put on the scoreboard. We didn't have umpires because you couldn't have umpires in the game. So we had the TrackMan strike zone up on the scoreboard. And so after every pitch where there was uncertainty whether it was a ball or a strike, everyone paused and waited for the little dot to pop up. And then, you know, one side got annoyed or, you know, shook their fist at the imaginary radar guy. So we used all that. And it really, honestly, it came in very handy for, like, hitting stats, because at various times during the summer, we had so many players with the big league team or in quarantine that we couldn't field teams down there. So we had live BP going where we had a first baseman, a shortstop, and a left fielder, but that was it. And so you couldn't really say if a guy got a hit or double or a single or a home run. I mean, like, home runs are obvious, right? But everything else was sort of uncertain. And so we're able to use the batted ball data to say, like, look, there was no fielder out there, but we're pretty sure that one was going to be a single and that one would have been a double. And so we're able to sort of estimate what people's stat lines would have looked like. We don't have official stats from any of the games, but we have estimated stat lines.
It's unbelievable. Back to the Major League Club. How concerned did you guys get when you're in Milwaukee or even just throughout the regular season when you're trying to get through just the season itself, and especially when you're on the road and the guys are away from their families, on the mental side of being isolated? How hard was that? Because I think as a fan or even as a broadcaster, you say, well, here are the guys playing. They pop up on your TV or they pop up at the ballpark and, hey, there's our favorite players.
Right,
there's our favorite team. But these are human beings and they're isolated, and you're asking them to be away from each other. How much of a concern was that, and what steps did you take to try to make sure that guys were okay mentally going through this thing?
Yeah, I mean, that was the same challenge a lot of people outside of baseball are going through, right? Like, anybody who lived in, you know, anyone who lives alone all of a sudden was way more alone than they ever intended to be,
right?
Our guys on the road, you know, I didn't go on the first road trip, which turned out to be the road trip from pandemic worlds.
Yeah.
And so I ended up not being on the road trips because of how we ended up doing things until the playoffs. And when I went the last few days of the regular season into the playoffs, and, like, the only thing you're allowed to leave your room for is exercise outdoor with a mask on. We were in San Diego. It's beautiful in San Diego, but you can only sit inside staring out at the beautiful San Diego for so long before it starts to grind on you. So it was a challenge, and And I think it was a challenge. You know, everyone dealt with it differently, right? Like FaceTime and phone calls and checking in with people, and again, a lot of work, video type work that would be done in the clubhouse. A lot of players were doing stuff, you know, on their own wherever they chose to do it, in their hotel room or at home before they came to the ballpark. So it was something that we were trying to help people with, but it's also, again, because of social distancing, it's a little bit hard to check in on people, right? There's you can't bring people together and be like, how are we doing? Like, you know, let's have a conversation about it. So, but it was an ongoing, you know, making sure guys like the trainers who touch every player every day are like a key part in sort of giving you a feel of the kind of the culture and if anyone like, you know, needs some attention or whatever.
Yeah. What was your favorite part of the season? Was it winning, knowing that you guys got over the hump, getting into the playoffs? Was it Yachty getting number 2,000? Was it Waino's complete game, seeing Dylan Carlson come up? What was your favorite part of it?
I mean, yeah, Waino's complete game was really special. That was very cool. But at the end, you know, we tried, our goal is to make the playoffs, right? Our goal is to win games, right? So, and we were so, it was tight right to the end, and all we had gone through to like not actually make it to the playoffs would have been like, you know, real tough shot to take. So, just qualifying for the playoffs, and you know, up through the middle of game two, like there was like a nice weak stretch there where we got in, we won game one, we were ahead in game two, and it felt like this is like we've overcome a lot and we're gonna actually get to push this thing on. And that was sort of the highlight for me.
When you look ahead now to 2021, where do you think the strength of the franchise is? From an outsider perspective like me, and you know the numbers inside out, it looks like you got really good pitching, more pitching coming. Is that probably where the strength is?
Yeah, I would say more than just pitching, is run prevention. I think between the pitching staff and the defense that we play, our strength is preventing runs. And we're gonna lose Dakota for next year off Tommy John, but we get Miles back. We're picking up Jordan Hicks, who, you know, time to time you add a guy with those 102 with a, you know, sinker that disappears, that's a positive, right? We did Wong's not with us at the moment, obviously. But you know, Bader and, you know, Goldschmidt and Edmund and DeYoung, like we have a good solid defense. I think we're above average almost everywhere on the field defensively, combined with a pitching staff that has been good for multiple years in a row, and you know, we're only sort of adding to it this year. It's exciting. And we've got guys like Libertor and Zach Thompson who are, you know, had good summer camps. You know, it's hard to say they're knocking at the door when they haven't played out of A-ball yet, but that's because of the weird 2020, but they're close and ready to help. So
could you see those guys at some point being part of the major leagues, you think, at some point this year?
I mean, again, it's tough because we haven't seen them in real competition, but especially Libertor had an exceptional summer and really put himself in a position where if things go the way we hope this year, he'll at least be under consideration by the second half of the season. Now, whether that's, you know, how it actually will go, I don't know. But last time he competed was in low A, so
right.
it's a pretty big jump. But hopefully it goes smoothly.
When you saw Gorman too, he's a guy that excites fans. Can you give us an idea what that summer camp was like too, and where he might be at the start of 2021?
Yeah. So Nolan had a tough assignment in that most of our guys at summer camp were big league quality pitchers, right? Like, because we needed them as insurance, right? So most of them were big league. And the guys who weren't, like Libertor and Thompson, who hadn't pitched, you know, in Double A and Triple A, were lefties. So, and Nolan's a lefty. So he either faced guys like Nabil Chrismat and Meisinger and, you know, all these guys who are, you know, 4A type pitchers, or he's facing two elite left-handed prospects. And for a guy who, you know, had been A-ball the year before, it was a good, you know, wake-up call as to what he's going to face going forward. He had a good camp. He is extremely committed to his career. He's extremely he's data intensive. He works on things. He has a virtual reality tool that he uses to practice facing left-handed sliders and practice staying in on them. He works with our hitting coach extensively on everything about his, you know, his technique and his pitch selection. He's very focused kid. And so he had a great camp, short of the fact he didn't get 600 plate appearances. He got, you know, 75 or whatever. And he understands that defense is part of the deal and to put a lot of time in on his defense at third base, which is good because, you know, he's got a bat that probably can play anywhere, but we'd like him to be a plus third baseman if at all possible, and he's committed to making that effort. So
you can imagine we're just out of the winter meetings and fans are kind of saying, where's baseball right now? Where's the industry right now? Could you get a feel of where the industry was? Not necessarily the Cardinals, but just baseball as a whole. Are we spending money? Are we not spending money? Are we in a wait and see period? And I guess all of sports in a way is like that right now. What do you think it is right now?
All of life is sort of in a wait and see program.
I know,
right?
It's a tough statement and question, but
the uncertainty. So, you know, we have all the uncertainty around players and prospects. If you're talking about trades, you've got guys who no one has seen in 18 months, including their own team, right?
Right.
It's not like we have a ton more information on what Danny Mack's been doing the last 18 right. months than some other team does. We have more, but not like
I was in the booth for
you were just waiting.
I'm waiting in the wings.
But also, you know, we're still not – we haven't – there is no DH – but it's not certain that won't change, right?
Right.
Last year, rosters were set at one number and then changed right before the season to another number. We have a schedule for all of 2021. We have a spring training report date for 2021, and no one has written those in Sharpie. Those are all feel like they're in pencil, right? And
sure.
And whether there'll be fans at some, all, or none of those games is just to be determined. And that goes beyond just, a blanket statement. Like every individual team and every individual municipality has its own, its own government regulations to deal with. So we're just in a place of uncertainty that I think is, unheard of in life, in sports, and certainly in the 15 years I've been involved in baseball. This industry is one where for a long time I could tell you exactly what I'd be doing each week of the year, because
sure.
I knew the second week of January was arbitration, right? And the third and fourth week of January we're making arbitration cases if we're going to a hearing, and then the first week of February is getting ready to leave for spring training. And like, you could plan out your year, and you've done the same thing.
Yep.
Exactly when you can go on vacation with your family over the All-Star break, and and all of that's blown up. Like, we just, all of last year changed, all of 2021 is a big question mark. It's just, we're all sort of probably better prepared to react quickly because of what we went through last year, but mostly waiting to see what we're going to react to, as opposed to planning too far ahead.
Do you still get excited though around this time of year? I mean, do you still get kind of the itch after the holidays to say, man, it does have that feeling though?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, I was out on the patio the other day during my lunch break, just the field's perfectly green, the sun was out, and it was sort of like, we need people in here. Like,
yes.
It doesn't feel quite right the way it is, but hopefully we're not too far away.
Currently constructed, and I'll wrap it up with this. You like your team, don't you? I mean, even if you just said, hey, we're going to roll the ball out in 3 weeks, guys are ready to go, you like your team.
Yeah, I mean, we're a team that made the playoffs going through a gauntlet of, I don't know what it was, 14 doubleheaders in a three-week stretch. We have some guys, we're losing a few players, we're getting back guys like Miles and Hicks. I mean, we're excited about the team we have, and we hope and expect that in a more normal schedule that we'll be able to perform a little bit better than we did last year, which again was good enough to make the playoffs. So there's still work to do. We're still hoping to make improvements, but we're excited for 2021 even as we are.
As I mentioned at the top, this conversation was a part of the club's virtual winter warm-up, and Cardinals Care was able to raise $100,000 through the event. That money will benefit youth both in St. Louis and across Cardinals Nation. So thank you to all of you who participated in the warm-up this year. It will mean big things for kids all across Cardinals Nation. Dan also sat down with Mo Bildewitt III, Gary LaRocque, he heads up player development for the St. Louis Cardinals, and Randy Flores, who is the scouting director. All of those either currently are or very soon will be available on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Cardinals. Some of them there now. All of them will be live by the end of the weekend. Hope that you enjoyed that conversation, maybe got to know Gersh a little bit more, and got an inside look at what 2020 was like, both for Major League and Minor League players. For Gersh, for Danny Mack, my name's Brett McMillan. Always a pleasure to be with you here on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.